Hi, everyone. Welcome to the mini monologue. This is our little in-between episode between our main episodes where we just, hang out, have fun, think of a random thing, kind of Mike Flanagan related, and then we just do that. So our I guess not game master, our host, our lead today is Kelsey. It was Kelsey's idea for today's episode. Take it away.
So I feel like everyone has kind of had their own moment to link the Flaniverse to like their special interests. So I am a big Halloween Horror Nights fan, which notably, one of Mike Flanagan's works has been at Halloween Horror Nights. The Haunting of Hill House was at Halloween Horror Nights in 2021. In both Hollywood and Orlando, the houses were slightly different. They showed some slightly different scenes. So I thought it might make a fun episode for us to pick other Flaniverse topics and figure out how those could translate to a haunted house. So Riley had an interesting idea when we were planning this.
I did. What
What was
was
the title that, or like the Flaniverse title that you thought would make an interesting haunted house?
Oh, okay. Well, so the first thing that popped into my head was just, okay, what is the like simplest thing you could do? And I think that would just be hush. And it's I think pretty easy. You just like make it so that there is some kind of like hearing impairment, whether that be like you have to wear earplugs or like there's a bunch of white noise or something like that. And then just kind of have someone stalk you through a house while you try to escape. I think fun, simple.
I think that might have been the idea. So last year at Halloween Horror Nights, they had A Quiet Place. And when the designers were talking about it before the event started, they said that they had intended to make it feel like you could not hear. And so like the scares would have to come in other ways. That's not how it worked out, at least not in Orlando. Like it ended up just being like a normal house. Like there were
Yeah, that's
noises
how
and
it was
stuff like
in
that.
Hollywood too. Yeah.
Yeah. But
Oh,
I don't
did you both
know.
go that year?
Well, that was last year. Yeah. So I went to
Oh,
Orlando
okay,
and
gotcha.
then
And I went,
Cecilia,
I
did you
was in
go
the
to?
LA one,
Yeah.
You know what? I feel like, since we're talking about haunted attractions, I actually should make a confession to our audience, since I think you guys know this, but publicly I'm coming out. I've never been to a haunted house.
You've
Like
been to
ever?
them. You haven't
No.
gone through them.
I've never gone
Yeah.
through one.
No,
I've never.
no. Like we know you've never gone to like Halloween Horror Nights, but you've never done like a haunted house, like not even like a little like elementary school
Nope.
carnival one.
No. The time I probably got closest was Cecilia had a birthday where we went to the
Girl Scouts.
factory of, well, no, not that. The
Oh, we did
one
go to the
with
Factory
the
of
zombie
Terror too.
guy. Yeah, Factory
We
of
did.
Terror.
We didn't. There's a haunted house in our hometown that on the off season they do escape rooms, and they do the escape rooms with the live actors. So they had the one where like the zombie's on a chain.
It was scary as hell. And that's probably like the most similar thing. But other than that, yeah, there was in like 7th grade, I went with Cecilia and some of our friends to Six Flags, I think, for
Yeah,
like
and they
a
and
Halloween
yeah, we
night.
went to their
And they
Halloween
had the
night.
scare actors like wandering around in the park. But you guys went through some of the houses, and I stood outside with one of our other friends who
Yeah.
also, did not want to go. So I've never in my life been through one.
I mean, I don't blame you for not wanting to go through a Six Flags one. Like, I mean,
When I was
they
12 and very
yeah.
afraid of everything.
They try their best, but there's always something that like doesn't quite work. Like I used to go to the one in Atlanta a lot, and there was like a clowns one where they had this part where like you had to push yourself through this like tunnel funhouse thing. And on paper, that would be really cool and kind of scary because you don't know what's on the other side. But in reality, it was one of those like air tunnel things, and it was a little too strong. And so my group like got stuck there, and we had to just chill in the room. Like, before we couldn't even get into the tunnel. Like, we didn't have enough strength to, like, pull the opening apart. Funny. So we had to just chill in the room with the scare actor until another group of people stumbled upon us, and then we had more force to be able to make it through. So that was really awkward because the scare actor. Yeah, it was, like, this, like, creepy clown, and then he was, like,
I don't get paid enough for this.
What's he gonna do, stay in character?
Yeah.
So he just kind of like chilled with us until another group came through and then helped us. So I felt so bad because it's like on paper that would have been really cool, but it's like, I'm sorry, logistically, it's just not quite executed. Like, did y'all test this? Were the people that tested it like bodybuilders? I don't understand.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like that also immediately shatters the illusion, which is what happened at the escape room that we went through. Because as we're walking out, like, it's just that one guy. And we're like, hey, good job scaring the shit out of us. And he's like, yeah, thanks. I'm working too late tonight. It's just some guy.
He's
now.
Like, I'm not in the room. I don't gotta be a character.
Although, okay.
And it's like, that's just Craig. I don't feel as scared anymore.
Not necessarily breaking character, but I have an awkward haunted house story. And this brings us back onto the topic because this was in the Haunting of Hill House Horror Nights.
So, tell me about that house because I actually had tickets and then I just want to get some stuffed animals in the shot and then was not able to go that year. So I would love to hear about the house itself.
Okay, well, I guess I can. So a couple things that I remember. So Eric, my fiance, and I always do the behind the scenes tour. Mm-hmm. And so I remember vividly on the behind the scenes tour, they told us that Netflix was very particular about the set design for that house to the point where there was a hallway with doors, just like in the very first episode when Steve is being carried out of the house and like the doors are banging.
So that scene
was in the house. And there were like, I think 8 doors in that hallway. And Netflix gave Universal, the Horror Nights creative team, 4 of the doorknobs from the original set to use. But they didn't have, so they like made, they were like, no, they all have to be identical. So like Universal had to like 3D print ones that matched up. And that's something that you would only notice if you were going on the behind the scenes tour. Like when you're going through it when it's dark, you wouldn't notice. Like after I went through the behind the scenes tour, the line got kind of backed up a little bit. And so I kind of like bent down and was like admiring the doorknobs, but it's like the average person, they're not going to see them because they're too dark.
Well, and also you're probably, you know, distracted by all of the things jumping out at you and whatever else goes on.
Yeah. And it was pretty cool at, so they kind of change the houses throughout the season a little bit, depending on staffing and like what's working and what's not working. And sometimes
we should talk about, because people listening are not familiar with Halloween Horror Nights. Do you want to give a quick, like, Kelsey is our expert.
I'm the expert. on my Instagram page, my theme park Instagram page, Magic and Mayhem with Kels, I'm actually currently running every day up until the first day of Horror Nights in Orlando, which is February 28th. Or 29th this year. I'm doing a daily trivia question because there's just so much lore. The event in Orlando has been going on. This will be its 34th year. It started in 1991 as Fright Nights, and it was 2 nights. And then the second year they changed the name to Halloween Horror Nights. It's been going on every year with the exception of 2020. They didn't do it in 2020. Mm-hmm. 2021, when they brought it back, they had to put plexiglass, and then the scare actors that actually did get up in your face, their character had to have a face mask or they had to be wearing like a COVID mask. But other than that modification and then not having it in 2020, it's happened every year since 1991. Hollywood.
I've also happened every year since 1991.
Something you have in common with Horror Nights.
When does Horror Nights open this year?
So in Orlando, it is the Friday of Labor Day weekend is when it always opens.
Okay, that makes
so it's
sense.
Either August 28th or 29th. And then it ends the Sunday after Halloween. So there have been years where it's gone as far as like November 5th because of where Halloween falls. Mm-hmm. Hollywood Brian, starts later. Hollywood usually starts the second week in September, I believe. And then they finish the same time that Orlando finishes.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Orlando typically has 10 houses. There was a rumor this year that we were going to get an 11th house. It's this whole thing. Like, I'm in this Discord with these people that are, like, very intense about it. Like, Universal has to file permits every time that they start constructing the houses. Mm-hmm. Because they're all built backstage. Well, in Hollywood, you can see them from on stage, but in Orlando, they're all backstage, so you can't see anything, but they have to file construction permits, to the point where Universal makes up, like, code names for the houses because they can't put like the real name of the house in the construction permit because those usually drop in January and they don't start making like they're in the process of making announcements now. They're about halfway through. So this year the code names were all based on flowers. And I don't think Hollywood does this. This will be my first year going to Hollywood for my bachelorette night. But in Orlando, the flower that is on the permit will be hidden somewhere in the house. So it's like a scavenger hunt when you go through.
Oh, that's fun. So there's like Easter eggs in some of the houses too, if you're like a diehard fan.
Yes. And that's then, very fun. So in Orlando, they will hide whatever the permit code name was. So like last year it was desserts. And some of them it makes more sense than others. Like the mm-hmm. one that didn't really make sense was the Insidious house was a pudding cup. And their theory was that the further is thick and gloopy like pudding.
Gross. I guess.
Some of them make a little more. Some of them make a little more sense. Like there was a museum house last year and it was very like Grecian architecture. And so baklava was the dessert.
Okay.
And then
is there like a relation to what so the pudding is Insidious. So, okay. So it correlates with the movie too.
So, well, they try. So basically
so the code names, you can kind of try to guess what the movie might be.
Sort of like the code name. And the thing is, sometimes it like the Insidious one, we never would have guessed. So some of them are a little more obvious. Some of them are not very obvious. But that's another great reason to do the behind the scenes tours because they tell you this is what the code name was and this is what the reasoning is.
Okay.
So like if you care about that
insider
stuff.
Info.
Yeah.
Can anyone do the behind the scenes tours? You just have to show up early.
Yeah, okay, you don't even need to have, well, you have to book it in advance. You don't need to have a park ticket to do the behind the scenes tour because you're with a guide and they take you. So the behind the scenes tours are during the day when the houses are not open because the houses are only open at night.
Okay, so for people who have never been and might want to like, you know, as a first timer, see what you're getting into.
I would highly recommend it for you because on the behind the scenes tour, the lights are on. The guide is kind of walking you through and telling you kind of about the different scenes. They're pointing out things that you can't necessarily see in show conditions when the lights are off.
Okay.
But you can kind of see sometimes they will point out where a scare is going to happen in a certain room, sometimes they don't, but you can kind of tell. So Universal calls the space that scare actors jump out of is called a boo hole.
Well, yeah. It's too obvious to make a joke about, I think, so I'm just not gonna bother.
And so they tend to be shaped the same kind of way. Also, they have, this is like getting really in the weeds here. When you go on the behind the scenes tour, you can see, characters that have audio that they say that'll be like pre-recorded. Usually there, occasionally there's a character, yeah, but that usually has to be like an actual actor. And that's like something special that they cast. But the average scare actor is just like a person who auditioned and they're like, you're the right height and body type for this role. Okay. So they have a trigger that they can either press with their hand or their foot, depending on the setup of their location. And so you can see those audio triggers as you're going through the behind the scenes tour. And that lets you know when it's in show conditions, there's a scare actor there. So the first couple years that I did it, I was like, I didn't really know the layout of the houses. Once you've done it enough, you can kind of walk into just any room and kind of expect like, okay, Universal, they put decorations over here. They want me to look over here. That means that the scare actor is going to come from behind me. Mm.
Do they use like the same structure every time and just like furnish it, I guess, with all the
stuff,
or are they like
they tear it down and completely rebuild a lot of the props will go to a warehouse somewhere,
okay,
but some of the buildings are built in spaces that are like normally ride queue lines, like in Orlando,
okay,
the Fast and Furious ride, which we hate, not to be confused with the cool Fast and Furious roller coaster that's coming to Hollywood. Hollywood is getting a very cool Fast and Furious roller coaster early next year, so they'll probably be testing it the end of this year if anybody lives in Hollywood. But anyway, in Orlando they build it almost every year. It's almost always the Blumhouse house that goes in the Fast and Furious queue. Last year was something different, so I that's not for sure, but so that's like only there from August until early November, because then they have to tear it down because then it's like part of the ride,
right?
But they take props, like large things, and they store them. They have like warehouses where they can store them, so sometimes things will get recycled. Like in the Haunting of Hill House in the kitchen scene. So like in the TV show, there's like the dumbwaiter that Luke is playing with, and then Theo presses the button. So that scene was in the house, and the kitchen table that was in that room was a table that was also used in an Edgar Allan Poe haunted house a couple years before. And they just decided that it fit the look, so they brought it out of storage. But they... basically, once the event starts, so like by the time we hit August and people are going to this year's event, the creative directors are already writing the treatments for the houses for next year. So it's a whole year process.
Oh, wow. Okay. So in speaking about props, do they ever like in the Hill House house, would they have used like a prop from the show ever, or do they just recreate everything?
So I know about the doorknobs because that was something that they tell you at the behind the scenes tour, because they were really
strict about it. I was thinking specifically about like the red room door, and I was like, that would be so cool.
Out
there somewhere.
It's a pretty good recreation. I'm trying to think because I've seen the real one. It's a pretty good recreation. But they're really, when there's an IP, so intellectual property, so a house that's based on something and is not an original story that one of the creative directors wrote, they will tell the guides of the behind the scenes tours what can and cannot be photographed. And it depends on the IP. So the Hill House house, they were really strict about you could take a photo in front of the facade. Like the facade that they built for Orlando was incredible. They did not do this for Hollywood. Like Hollywood, you just go right in and you're just like inside the house. Orlando, they basically built like the whole exterior the house, because the sound stages are huge. And so they let you take pictures in front of, and you can only take pictures when you're on the behind the scenes tour. I know in Hollywood, anyone can record and take pictures when you're going through the house. Yeah. In Orlando, no, it's a huge, like there are team members that are stationed all throughout the house. They will tell you to put your phone away. So if those videos on YouTube that are good quality, that's because they have one specific media night where channels are invited to film, But if it's not media night, if you haven't been invited to film on that one night, like they're no, that could be, they could kick you out for that. They're like they're really strict about that in Orlando. Yeah, that's like one of the big things. So in Orlando, one of the added benefits to doing the behind the scenes tour is that you actually do get a chance to take photos. But like in the Hill House house, they had the sign. I think it was just a recreation. I don't think it was the real one because I think Mike has the real one of the sign that says Hill House and then it says Hill House spray painted. Yeah. So that was there. So you could take a picture by that. You could take a picture in front of the facade. And then you could take pictures in like the kitchen area, like where like the dumbwaiter scene happens. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't take any. They're really strict about no pictures in front of the Red Room door. There's a scene where I think it was a mannequin. I don't think they ended up having. It might have been a scare actor in Hollywood, but I think the bent neck lady was a mannequin in Orlando, and you couldn't take a picture of that. There's the scene from Two Storms where the windows break. So there's the hallway with the windows.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't take a picture of that. You couldn't even take a picture of the doorknobs that Netflix wanted there so badly. And it's like, you can't even see these in show conditions. So this was
yeah, why did they, no, why did they no even knobs. Bother?
Yeah, no, you couldn't take a picture of those. Yeah, it was, and they did a really good job with like the set design and stuff. The only thing, it gets a little convoluted at the end because like they wanted to include as many of the Korean siblings as they could, and so a lot of them get kind of shoved into like this so at the very end it's like they're all jumping out at you and then so like the Theo scare actor jumps out and is like, don't touch me, and it's like real and then jumped in my face like what.
I don't want to, Jesus Christ.
But yeah, so mainly what you see is actually mainly. And I know the Hollywood one was different because I was watching like videos that people had taken at Hollywood and I was like, we didn't even get that scene. Most of the scares in Orlando were from Poppy, Olivia.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the bowler hat man. And the story that I was gonna leading into way back.
Oh, yes,
so
yes.
So they usually I don't know. I'm sure Hollywood probably does the same thing, but the Michael Aiello, who's the creative director for Orlando, is really good about adding like a final sting, like a final scare. So it's like you think the house is done, and then they're like, when you're walking out, there's usually like a scare actor to get you as like, you're going out. Oh shit! Gives you
that double tap.
Yeah, and and when you were leaving Hill House, it was the bowler hat man on stilts.
And he
would like get down in your face.
Shit out of me.
Yeah. Well, he was in the house multiple times. And it's like the more times that you see him, the taller and taller he gets. Like the first time that you see him, it's like a normal scare actor on the ground. And then it's like slightly lifted. And then at the end, it's like on full stilts, but he's like crouching down in your face.
It's like that scene from Scary Movie where the cop's hat just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger every time they shower.
It's kind of like that. And, But so the line in Hill House used to back up a lot because people would not want to leave because they would see the big bowler hat man on stilts and they would be freaked out. And so there was one time when I went through it and one of the scenes in the house was based on when Steven's like Red Room nightmare. Where Lee is like having the baby and then the baby demonic. So you walk in and it's like this like kind of like dingy room and then there's like a crib that has like it's supposed to look like curled thorns and stuff in the crib. And then like Lee would come out as a scare actor with like the bulging belly and like the all the makeup, like the gray makeup and stuff like that. And so our line got stuck in front of her boo hole spot. And so she came out like four times and it was, I mean, it was like an audio trigger that she would push like when she was about to come out. So it would like say like Samantha Soyan's line from the show. And like the fourth time. Yeah. Cause she came out four times while we were stuck there. The fourth time she kind of like poked her head out and realized that it was the same people. And she like didn't even like push the trigger. She was just like, yeah. And then went back in.
Oh, sorry, guys. Just me again.
But yeah, that was another kind of cool thing, because they took the audio triggers from the house. So it was like the Theo that jumps out and is like, don't touch me. It was like Kate.
Oh, it's like Kate's voice that. Yeah. Okay. So as someone who has never done this, when you say scenes, when I think of a haunted house, I think of like it as an immersive experience, I guess. But when you're walking through like the Hill House thing specifically, are you walking through and just kind of watching this, or are you sort of part of this?
It's coming at you. So it'd be like, okay, the scare actors at Universal, they cannot touch you, but they can get as close to you as they can without touching you. So they will get in your face.
Touching you.
Yeah.
I'm not touching you.
Yeah. And sometimes they get very intense about it. Every year. I don't know if Hollywood does this. I would assume they do. I don't know as much about the behind the scenes of the Hollywood event. But at the Orlando event, if you go the last night, usually around like 9 or 10 on the last night, they will let the house that has won House of the Year know. And then usually once they found out that their house is won, because during normal operation, they have cast A and cast B so that they can give each other breaks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But usually the last night of the event, once they found out that their house is won House of the Year, everyone is all pumped up. And so then cast A and B will be in at the same time. And so last year in Orlando, the house that won House of the Year was Insidious. And so like double the scares. So like there was a room that was supposed to be like the further, and it was mostly mannequins, but then there would be two actual scare actors in there that would run at you. So after the last run that I did of that house was right after they found out they won House of the Year. And so then there were four scare actors in there. And so I knew two were coming, but then these two other ones came. And so like, I'd been through the house probably five times at that point, and that caught me off guard. There was like a hallway with like the red face demon guy. And, he would pop out from curtains, and on a normal run, it would be every other curtain. But then when cast A and B were in at the same time, it was every curtain.
Oh my God, it's like that scene in the Midnight Club where it's just jump scare, jump scare, jump scare.
Yeah, it was like that. And so there was a point, it was one of the ending scenes, but it's like I had a red face demon and like a key face demon like on either side of me, and I just like couldn't go anywhere. One time. Yeah, so you're not witnessing, stuff is happening to you. Which there's a house coming stressful. This year that just got announced today, so it's no longer a spoiler. So it's not an IP. I don't remember the name because it's an original. It's Graveyard something. I'd heard of this story. This had been in the rumor mill for months. And it's basically the house starts at your funeral. And then you're going through it but it's it just got announced today. So that one's going to be super immersive because it's like everything is going to be at you.
Oh my God. As someone who is horrified of death, that's probably not the one to start with.
That one sounds awesome.
Okay. And so if Riley, if you ever go there, every year there is always one house that is like not quite as scary. Like last year it was Ghostbusters.
It's like the
stepping stone. Yeah. And then a couple years ago it was Beetlejuice.
It's like you're the family friendly.
Yeah.
Kind
well,
of
I mean, it's still
house for pussies.
There's still scare actors, and like some people will still be like, oh my God, this was scary, but you'll get used to it because it's very close quarters. So like even watching like walkthrough videos doesn't quite prepare you because you'll be like, it's like right there. But in real life, it's like,
because I've
right
watched a couple
you.
Of them.
Yeah.
So circling back to Hill House, I do want to know, as someone who had tickets, but then had to miss it. Walk me through the house. I want to hear what happened.
So you start, the Hollywood one is different. I don't know the Hollywood one, but in Orlando,
we don't care. That one sucks.
Okay.
We don't care.
So you start outside the house, and Oh my god, I'm blanking on her name. Annabelle? No. The little girl.
Anna. It's her. Who are we talking about?
No. The little girl.
The little girl they think is a ghost.
I don't know. Can somebody look it up? I know Olive Abercrombie, I think, is the girl who plays her.
The actress. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't
and
know
Annabeth Gish is the actress who plays her mom. Yeah. So that's not it. What the fuck was her name? I keep wanting to say Olivia, but that's the mom's name. Well, that's true.
Abigail.
I was close.
We were close. Okay.
So,
all
right. So you walk through the facade and you hear a voice that's supposed to be a little Luke saying like, "Abigail's in the window." And then the other kids, you hear voices of the other kids screaming, "Where's mom? Where's mom?"
Oh fuck.
Yikes. And then you walk to the front door, and then the first character that you encounter isn't coming at you. You're witnessing what he's doing, and it's older Luke trying to burn the house down. He's like trying to throw gasoline at the house, and then you walk in, and then you turn right, and the first thing that you see is the red room door, and then you turn again. There's a lot of turns. It's a lot of twisting, and you go down the hallway. With the doorknobs that Netflix was very particular about. The year when that house was there, I went at the beginning of the season, and then I always try to go at the beginning of the season and then at the end of the season because some of the houses change. So at the beginning of the season, there was a spot for a scare actor. It looked like it was a door, but it was like a scrim at the top. And sometimes the light would come on and there'd be a scare actor that was Poppy there. So you would be like admiring these doors. And then all of a sudden, like Poppy is like in your face. And then she would like say one of her lines from the Screaming Mimi's. And then you keep going down the hallway. And then I might be getting the order switched. And then I think the next thing that you come to is the scene where from Two Storms, where all the windows break, and then windows are like shattering, and so that gets your attention over there. And so then from the other side, Olivia jumps out at you.
Focused. So
they try to distract you.
There's it's full chaos. There's not a second of like catch your breath. It's just
it's pretty much full chaos. And then you go when you get to the end of that hallway, there is a what do you call it? It's like Universal does this a lot in pre-shows where it's like a static background, but then they play like a video. And so it looks like there's people interacting with the static background. I don't know what that technology is called, but, so basically it was the spiral staircase. And then it was a video of Nell doing the spinning. So that wasn't a person or a mannequin.
Was it a projection?
Yeah, like a projection. I couldn't think of the word. Okay. So it was a projection of Nell doing the spinning. And then I might be getting some of these slightly out of order because it's been a couple years.
Yeah, you can tell me.
It was 2021. And then after you see that, then you walk into a hallway and then you hear this like snapping noise. And then they had mannequins on either side that were the bent neck lady. So it would look like it was dropping, and then it which some people were upset about that. They're like, oh, like depictions of self harm, and it's like, but that's like a
good story.
Yeah. But the point is, when you first walk into it, there's a scrim in front, and so you think it's just wallpaper. And then it'll show you one side, and then it'll go dark, and then so it's like trying to catch it so that if you're walking into the hallway for the first time, like you don't know what to expect, and then but it's the bent neck lady on both sides. And then the scariest part in the house, honestly, was right after that. There was a hallway that was like completely dark. And then occasionally you could see like Nell, like, or the bent neck lady, like floating above you, but it was like completely dark. And so the first time I went through it, I was like terrified that I was like, there's going to be a scare actor somewhere, but spoiler alert, there was not. It was just like a mannequin. And then trying to think where you... Oh, and then you go... Then it goes back from present day to the past. And then there's the little ghost boy in the wheelchair comes at you. And then the old, the creepy old lady comes at you. Nice. And then Olivia comes at you. Yeah, Hazel comes at you. Then Olivia comes at you. And it's like as you go through the house, like she goes from like looking like a normal person to like having like a damaged side of her face.
Oh, that's cool.
And then next, I think, no. Next, I think, is the kitchen with the dumbwaiter. And then it's like you're going through the basement, and the basement ghost comes at you. And that was probably one of the scarier scares. Because, I mean, again,
in the show,
there,
too. He's scary.
Because there was plexiglass up. So, like, for most of the time when they're getting in their face, they're, like, up against the plexiglass. Unless their character had a mask.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, Olivia had a mask, and so she could get right up in your face and stuff like that. But, like, the Poppy, I think, was behind plexiglass. But the basement ghost was, like, fully in costume. So he would run at you, like, on his hands and knees. He'd run at your feet.
Yikes.
That's what I
No, thank you.
When I was a scare actor, is I would crawl at them.
And he,
you
so
would do that before then. You've done that your whole life, like at sleepovers. Half
really
the time, it's Cecilia pretending to be Samara, just crawling at you.
Okay, so we're in the basement.
So yeah, so the basement goes. So little fun fact that I learned from the behind the scenes: they, in addition to having a cast A and cast B, they also had to have a cast C for that because that was so physically demanding, crawling on your knees. That instead of switching out like 30 minutes on, 30 minutes off, like they normally do, they would do like I think like 15 minutes on, and then they would switch to 15. But anyway, there was that. And then, let's see, I don't know if this is the exact
order. They don't
order,
have to
so
be
so,
in order.
Okay, someone is probably, like listening to this, and they're like, oh,
they're
that's not what comes next.
They're writing us a one-star review.
No. let's see. So there was the kitchen, the basement ghost. There is the Hazel and the boy in the wheelchair. There's one point where Poppy doesn't come at you, but she's like kind of standing next to you, and she like kind of, she's behind a scrim, but it is a definite scare actor, not a mannequin, because she kind of walks down the hallway with you, and it's almost like, you know, when she's like in Olivia's ear and she's like telling her all the things about why she needs to get rid of the kids. It's like she's trying to brainwash you like that. And then you go into the tea party room, and Olivia jumps out from around a corner with the tray with the tea. And it's like the
and tries to poison me,
and and tries to poison you. And then I think after that is when you go into some of the kids' red room nightmares. I mean, obviously, like you don't see Theo's because it's still like a 13 and up event. So that was probably a little too much.
Maybe skip that one.
You don't see Shirley's because that's not really scary. But you see Steve's, and then there's like Lee jumps out. And then what else? Oh, there was this really cool scene with Poppy where, so Universal likes to do this thing where they'll use reflections. So you'll be walking down a hall, and there'll be mirrors. And so you'll think like, oh, she's over here. But she's actually hidden back, like, right next to you, and she'll pop out right in front of your face, but she looks so much farther away. There's always, like, one house every year that does that. And then the bowler hat man will make occasional – he's just, like – I don't think – he's just kind of throughout the house. I don't really remember where he makes his first appearance.
Yeah.
And then there's the last, like – the last scene, I guess, is like you're in this twisty, turny kind of black hallway, and like everybody is jumping out at you. Like Theo's jumping out at you. Nell, like Nell before being the bent neck lady, is jumping out at you. Olivia's jumping out at you, and it's just like everybody. And then you get to the end, and you think you're done, and then there's the bowler hat man in stilts.
That's
I know that the Hollywood one had. A scene that you walk through where it's like the young Nell in the bed, and then the floating Bentnek lady over her. And it's like, it wanted you to look over there. And then I think you get like jump scared by somebody on the other side of the hallway. I don't know. Usually if there's some intricate scene on one side of the hallway, then you know something is going to come. Yeah. Or like sometimes they'll, in some of the bigger sound stages, they'll have like, you'll go from a tiny hallway to like a bigger room. And if there's something like on the far corner of the bigger room, you know, someone is going to come up behind you. So basically wherever that it is intricately decorated, if you look somewhere else, you're probably going to see the scare actor.
Okay, these are such good tips for when I do go that I feel very prepared. Okay.
The first time that you go, I really want to go. I'll go in front. You can go. Although they don't break up.
Oh, yeah,
They don't break up your groups in Universal like they do at some of the smaller scare events. Like I know, like at Six Flags and stuff, they break you up into groups. Yeah. You have one in Texas where they do that. They can't do that at Universal because there's some houses that will consistently have like a 90-minute, 100-minute wait. So it's just a solid line. Yeah. So that is a good thing if you, Riley, are like scared, because you're probably gonna witness like. Yeah, not necessarily the scare itself, but you'll hear noise and see light on like your left side, and so you'll be like, okay, I know something is gonna come out at me from the left
side.
So that's
that
how
way.
I'm like, I like looking at the decorations and I like seeing everything in show conditions and like following the story, but loud noises still get me sometimes.
Kelsey and so, I can we'll sandwich you in the middle.
Well,
yeah, I usually
that and my girlfriend who just kind of prances along and they jump out at her and she's like, hi, great job scaring me, guys. And
Julie
then just
and
like,
I are very
off.
Similar. That's how I am too.
I did that at, so the very first year that I went, I was so scared. And so we did the Purge house because I was like, I was like, I know the Purge, so like I'll be less scared if I know the story. And so the friend that I went with had gone a bunch of times and she was like, the way to not be scared is like to pretend that you think it's like funny. So we did this thing. We waved at every scare actor. So they would jump out. We'd go, hi. And we were probably pissing them off so much.
For sure.
But it was like keeping me from being scared. Cause I was like, oh my God, like another scare is coming. Okay. Hi. Or like,
hey girl. Oh my God. Great job scaring me.
<That's> so excited.
I'm going to put that one in my back pocket.
One thing that I think would be really cool, which, I mean, Universal's not going to do this, but if Hush was ever a house, I think it'd be cool to, like, give people, like, noise-canceling headphones or something. And I know that there probably would be the argument about having to sanitize them, but they've done 3D houses where they give you 3D glasses. So, and they've had to sanitize those.
Well, and I feel like for Hush, too, it doesn't necessarily have to be that, because I feel like you could accomplish the same thing just with, like, earplugs. Just, like, you know, like, styrofoam or foam or whatever.
I feel like big headphones would be easier, because then you could just, the 3D glasses, like, throw it in the bin, you know what I mean? And they wouldn't even have to, like, be something that you could plug in, just something that would, like, cancel the noise. Because Universal's done stuff where they made it so that it's harder to see, to, like, make it scarier that way.
Yeah.
They've done, like, 3D houses where everything is popping out at you in 3D. The first year that I went, it's still probably one of the most terrifying houses. It was called Dead Exposure Patient Zero. It was kind of like a knockoff of 28 Days Later because the premise is there's this infection. When you start, you go through this like Red Cross area, and there's like these cages of like lab monkeys, which like Eric was
like,
wow,
yeah, that
28
is
days later.
28 days.
And so they tell you, like, there's like a voice that's telling you as you're like starting the house, like, you are gonna be vaccinated for the virus, but the vaccine is gonna mess with your vision. And so as you go through the house, it'll be like strobe lights, or sometimes the lights will just cut off for like a little bit, and it's like that you can't see. And that was so scary because one of the scenes, you were like in a subway car, And so it's very close quarters. And like the lights would cut off and then they came back on. And then it's like, oh my God, there's a scare actor, like two scare actors on either side of me. And I was walking through and I didn't know they were there and they were there. And yeah.
Yeah, it's the like, oh my God, how long has this been going on? How long have you been there? Mm-hmm. Okay, I feel like, so, speaking of monkeys, though, I feel like there's a lot of things that... No, I'm going somewhere with this, I promise.
I think you're talking about Usher.
Talking about the Fall of the House of Usher. And yes, about what yes. other Mike Flanagan
Usher
property...
Usher would make a great one.
A good, well, and it's already so separated by, like, the... you know, the sibling's death, and then just, like, there's a lot of rooms, like, if you...
Yeah.
You know?
Usher is... Fall of the House of Usher is one that people... When people start doing the spec maps and, like, being like, I think this is what's going to be there. Every year, it's brought up, because there's a character at Horror Nights called Little Boo. He's, like, a little pumpkin. I have a little plush of him, but he's too far for me to go get
he's
right
cute.
Now.
He's
cute! And he has, like, a... He has like a crow that I don't know if it's a crow or a raven that sits on top of him. So every year, people that are like newish to Horror Nights and don't know that that's like Little Boo's buddy are like, oh, Fall of the House of Usher. This is like, this is what it's telling us. And I'm like, no, no. And I've even like, one of the times when we were talking to my, so like whenever Eric talks to anybody that is like even slightly Horror Nights adjacent, yeah, that's Little Boo and his friend.
Oh, he's cute. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I love it.
But yeah, anytime he talks to anyone that's like even slightly Horror Nights adjacent, he's always like, you know, my fiance is obsessed with Horror Nights. So I've like had people tell me like, oh, no, like if my project is there, you will know. So every year when people are like, Fall House of Usher, I'm like, trust me. No, I would love it. But no.
I think almost all of Mike Flanagan's works could make a good house. So, like, what of his works do we think wouldn't work? Maybe it's more interesting to talk about that.
Honestly, I don't know, because Midnight Mass, I would say, but there was a house 2 years ago at Horror Nights called Blood Moon Dark Offerings that has a lot of scenes that could honestly could work for Midnight Mass house. So I think that would work really well.
I think the only one that might not work is because I don't think it would be long enough would be Absentia. Like, I don't know.
Oh,
you could probably make it work, but I feel like there's not enough to.
Yeah, you could probably make it work, but I feel like Absentia is too subtle. Like, they would have to, I don't know, they'd have to come up with other ways to scare you.
And I think this is why the one I immediately thought of is the movie is the exact opposite of subtle. I think Before I Wake would make a really good house.
Oh,
my least favorite of all the movies, which, you know, if anyone knows the backstory, I'm sure knows why it is the way it is. But like,
Life
I feel like
junk,
that one
just takes you into a room and you just stand there
and like, people dance.
And in the room with like dying Tom Hiddleston actor. Just slowly
watch. I feel like Life of Chuck would be the worst for a Horror Nights house, because it's like, what are they gonna, it's not intended to be scary.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess Act really 3 like, could work, right? It's like the world.
Well, that's true, I guess it could just be apocalypse time and not ever explain the context.
You have to do a math quiz.
Oh my God, that is a nightmare. I never passed high school math. I don't want to do that.
Slightly off topic, but kind of relates to like the whole like math test being scary. So my fiance's co-host on the KingCast, Anthony Bresnikan, he was joking that they need to make a Gen Z haunted house, and one of the scares is like someone coming out of the woods to tell you that you need to go back to work in the office.
Oh my God.
And I think that was really funny. Whenever I see a movie where it's like random things are happening, I'm like, here come the people to tell us that we're going to go back to work in the office.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. I can't imagine ever working in an office again. I work on the open road, baby.
I work in a classroom.
Call and
that's
make a
basically
doctor's
an office.
Appointment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I saw
you need to file
video.
Your taxes.
I saw a really cute video where, like, a mom was, like, helping her son make a dentist appointment because he had never done it on his own. She's like, okay, this is what you say. And then she sat there across from him when he called. It was really cute.
Well, that's nice. I feel like Julia and I were just talking about this because we moved into a new apartment this weekend. And we were putting our – we took our bed frame apart and put it back together. Or she did. I did not help. But it's like no one taught us how to do anything. Why? Why are we so helpless as millennials?
Okay. Ugh. I would just like to say that school tries – I can't vouch public for like teachers that millennials had. Okay, but like when I did my student teaching, I had 12th grade English as one of my sections, and it was like the kids that knew that they weren't going to college, they were going to trade school, they were like gonna go into the family business or whatever.
It was
and
the burnout. I know.
So we were reading a story about it was like Tom and the Devil or something about like the devil was like a money lender, and so I was like, okay, we're gonna do Tom and the Devil.
I like.
I don't know. I can't. And that might not be the actual title. I used to mix folksy, it up all I'd the time, and the kids would make fun of me. But anyway, so I was like, okay, well, we're not going to do literary analysis because, like, that's not going to help y'all. So we're going to learn about interest rates for credit cards.
Oh.
And so I made this project where I was like, you're going to buy a TV. The TV costs this much. Here's three different credit card applications. You have to look through and find the one where it would cost you the least amount of money to pay off the TV. And they were like, this is too hard. And I was like, but this is what you're going to have to do all your life. So I would just like to say on behalf of school, we try. We are horribly hindered by our lack of supplies and resources, but we try. We try.
I looked up the thing. It's called The Devil and Tom Walker. It's by Washington Irving.
I always got it backwards, and the kids were like, tomorrow, that's not what it's called. And I'm like, close enough.
It's close enough.
I completely lost my train of thought.
We try. Anyway, you were saying that school did not teach us millennial stuff. Yeah. Which I mean I can't vouch for teachers when we were in school. Although honestly, I feel like teachers when we were in school probably did a better job because like some of the things that we have to deal with in the classroom, it's like
you guys have new and
where did we mess up? Where did we go wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be a haunted house itself, just the American education system.
There's a bunch of like teachers that it's like teacher talk is a whole thing on TikTok, and there's a guy that made a teacher haunted house, and it's like a student is failing and you have to call the parents, and it's like
oh no. Oh god. I wonder what a haunted house for my job would be. Huh.
Having an existential crisis.
Yeah, I don't know what... I mean... I work with autistic people. I don't know what I can say publicly that won't get me fired, so I'm going to avoid that.
That's got to be something with, like, vaccines. Like, people are vaccines are going to give you autism. Oh,
no. And they're like, I've already got it. Oh, no, I have executive dysfunction. I have texture issues and can only eat chicken tenders. No, that's cool, actually. Yeah, give me a ticket to this haunted house. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I think this is a great little intro episode into what will become a long-running mini monologue series, which is us making our Mike Flanagan theme park. So,
Stay tuned next time where we figure out the rides and the merchandise and the food.
Yeah. Food. I am very invested now. It's like
Roller Coaster Tycoon. That's hell what I was gonna say.
Woo! I love that game.
As someone who worked briefly in theme park operations at Disney, because I don't work there anymore. I feel like playing Roller Coaster.
We do speak for the brand and company.
No, we do not speak for them. Someone who briefly worked in operations there. I feel like playing Roller Coaster Tycoon as a kid in the 90s prepared me for that, except I was kind of mean when I ran my parks on Roller Coaster Tycoon. Like,
Yeah, you're just like, how fast can this coaster go?
Yeah, or like we don't need it. We need like one bathroom in the whole theme park.
No trash cans.
You guys are psychopaths. No, but
I was the person that I would have like 5 million like handymen and janitors because I would hate when it would the walking paths would get all dirty. That would like bother me so much. So I would probably spend instead of building new rides, it would be like, no, I'm employing like 50 handymen and janitors.
Oh, no. Very clean.
All right. Well,
I would always win the cleanest park award.
Something to be very proud of.
$50,000 in debt.
Oh god.
On that note,
yeah, thank you for listening. Join us next week. We're going to be talking about is it considered dueling monologues? We're going to be talking about the monologues from Midnight Mass, which are Kate Siegel's monologues about death. So
we're going to be talking about what happens when we die.
Fuck, man, what does happen when you die? Let's all think about it while we wait for this new episode to come out.
Tune in next week to hear our thoughts about death.
Bye. Hell yeah. Bye.